welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I'm excited to have with me Clint. Do you mind introducing yourself? Tell us about what you do.
My name is Clint Chico. I am a high school teacher and a YA author. I've been writing since 2020, and I write books that primarily focus on LGBTQ characters and diverse casts of characters. I'm an inner city high school teacher at a school of the arts. I teach video production. So the kids that I teach fit into that demographic pretty broadly. And so a while back, I decided it was really important to try and increase the number of the representation that the kids see in pop culture for both my kids who are African-American, Hispanic, Latino, and my LGBTQ kids and my own kids as well.
That's so inspiring. I'm wondering, you went from videography, is it then, or video editing? What is it specifically that you teach?
Yes. Originally, my degree was in TV production, and I spent some time working in TV news behind the scenes. And then I got an opportunity to teach high school kids how to write and shoot and edit and create their own videos. And I've been doing that for about 20 years. And so I've always been creative. I've always done script writing and little things like that and teaching kids. And I've also got a degree in English, teaching kids how to write that way. And only recently, we were sitting at home during the pandemic, an idea hit for a book, and I started working on my first novel, and I honestly haven't been able to stop since.
Yes, so walk me through the writing process of your first novel, because obviously you said that you had a background in writing where you went to school for writing a little bit, so was it completely new and territory that you hadn't explored before, or was it...
Yeah. So there's similarities to script writing and things like that. Some people will say writing is writing, but it's really a different beast to write a novel. And I tell people for years, my wife had said, you should write a book. I'm sure it'd be very good. And she's been saying that for about 10 years now, and she's usually right. But I knew that if you're putting months and months into a novel, that's really scary because what happens if you get close to the end and you don't know how to finish it? Or even worse, what if you finish it and it's not very good? So it's much scarier than, say, a shorter project or something that's familiar, that's very different, very new, putting a novel together. So even though I'd done other kinds of writing, I'd done smaller projects, other things, yeah, it was really scary, really daunting starting the first book and getting into it. And if I hadn't gotten feedback from my wife after the first 100 pages or so, I showed it to her and said, is this good? Do I need to keep going? Is there something there? And she's, yes, most definitely keep going. There's something there. And that kept me going until the end. Plus having the time to work on it, to sit down and just focus for a while that summer. Yeah.
And can you explain how you got the inspiration to write your book? Because I know a lot of writers out there visualize movie scenes in their head. And I'm just wondering, since you have that background in video in TV, that maybe it enabled you to have these vivid pictures in your mind, these vivid scenes, and then you were able to convey that in your writing.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Because I do think visually a lot of times when I'm working on video projects or helping my students or that kind of thing. And so it started with me working on something completely different. And as I'm typing, an image pops in my head of a girl laying in the middle of a football field, looking up at the stars next to her best friend. And she rolls over to her best friend and she says, I think I might be gay. And that is the very beginning of my first book. The girl ended up being Marcia Torres. Now, here's the thing. This just popped in my head out of nowhere. Like I could visualize the scene like you were talking about there. And I thought, oh my God, I have an idea. Because when you're a writer and you're coming up with ideas and stuff, especially if you read a lot and watch a lot of movies, a lot of TV, the biggest thing you're worried about is you don't want it to feel derivative, right? Like you don't want it to feel like you're going to steal an idea from somewhere. And this was the first thing I'd had that was like really original. And so I was really excited by that. And I actually had to slow down a little because I thought, oh my God, I have an idea for a book. And they're like, no, you have an idea for a character. You got to start there. You have to figure out, why is she in the middle of the field? Who is this girl? What, you know, who is her friend? What's going on there? And where does the story go from there? So it was a couple days after that, before I actually started typing, because I had to sit and think, is there enough there? Is enough content there for me to start from? And I know a lot of people that every writer that I've talked to in the couple of years I've been doing it does it differently, right? There's different structures and some people are very organized and they outline everything. And some people go completely off the cuff. I'm somewhere in the middle because I'll usually visualize the scenes a little bit at a time. And for my first book, especially, I knew what was going to happen in the chapter I was writing. And I knew what was going to happen in the next one and maybe one after that. But I didn't plan too far ahead. But when you talk about being able to visualize scenes, I'll give you an example. The book I'm working on now, I started working on pretty much right after I finished my last one, which would have been the fall, September, October. Since October, it's a Christmas rom-com, the one I'm working on now. I have a scene in my head. The girl is going to try and get, she's screwed up. She's going to go ask for forgiveness. So in my head, I can see this scene where she is out in the snow, in the yard, serenading her girlfriend. And because her mom works at the church, she's got an entire choir behind her as backup singers. And they're singing Christmas songs, right? Now that scene has been living in my head since the fall. And I just wrote it like 2 weeks ago. And this is partly why writing is so addicting to me. Because, well, the end product is great, but it's these ideas that you get, right? And you finally get to put them on the page and see them come to life. And I've never experienced anything like that. It's so cool. And especially when you can get your books out there and other people see it and read it and get touched by it too. Oh, it's the best thing.
Yes. And I'm wondering, do you ever get blocks when you're writing where you've written maybe for days and then all of a sudden you just can't seem to type anything else out? You have no ideas flowing. And what do you do if you've ever been in that state, or when you are in that state, do you just try and force yourself to write, try and sum up all that energy inside you, maybe look back on your notes and find inspiration? How do you pull yourself through those writing blocks?
Yeah, that's one of the main questions that gets asked a lot. I'm somewhere in the middle, right? Because I'm new to this, that I've only been doing it for a couple of years, but I'm also a veteran. I've got 10 books under my belt. And so I talk to other authors online and in person and stuff. And that's something that comes up a lot, right? Because eventually that creative well is going to start to dry up some. Like I mentioned with my first book, especially, or the first couple, I wouldn't really start writing until I knew what was going to happen next. So that would, so like you said, if you think visually, you can plan out the scene. I know what's going to happen in that scene before I start typing it, because I haven't seen all the details or anything like that. I haven't planned out everything, but I know, okay, this is the part where she needs to go in and talk to her and they're going to end up fighting. And this is how this part's going to end. So that before I even sit down to start typing, I've already got a plan. Part of that comes from working with high school students because they run into that a lot. And I try and explain to them that it's much easier to get where you're going if you know how to start it. If you sit down at the, for me especially, if you sit down at the typewriter, God, I'm old. If you sit down at the computer to start typing and you have no idea how the scene's going to go. And so part of your brain is thinking and then part of your brain is writing. And then you have to stop writing to think again. And then you have to start, right? That can be really difficult to pull off. Now, some people do it that way. Some writers, that works fine. What helps me out a lot is if I know where that scene, especially, not necessarily the whole thing or anything like that, but I need to know where that scene is going. Now, there are times where I've gotten to a point, the book I'm working on now, I didn't know how it was going to end, maybe until a month ago. And like I said, I've been working on it since September, October. So what happens sometimes is I'll, not a block necessarily, but it'll start to slow down because I'm not 100% sure how things are going to go. And I like that style better than planning everything out ahead of time, because what I end up with is a lot more organic and real and less stilted. But yes, sometimes you get a block where you're like, I need to work something out. I need an idea here. And so usually what I'll do is, number one, look for inspiration in other sources, music, TV shows, stuff that's not writing, because that relaxes your brain a little bit. That helps me out a lot. Again, every writer is different. Your style might be different. But the other part too is I'll go, and some authors say, don't do this, don't do this. I'll go back and rewrite and rework through some previous chapters. And especially, so like this book I've been working on for several months, you forget sometimes what you wrote 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, right? So sometimes it helps to go back and revisit that a little bit, get back in that mindset. And sometimes that will spark something, a character that there have been a lot of times, I'll create a character for one scene just because he needs to be there for something or she needs to be there for something. And it's like a puzzle piece that you don't know what they're there for, but you're just going to put them there. And then because you don't know what the puzzle is going to be at the end, you hang on to that piece. It's like a tool in your toolbox and you pull it out. Oh, this guy would be great for this. And that solves your problem. And you can move on down the road plot wise there, which is also why. And again, not every writer does this work for. I like to go back and rework stuff when I start to get stuck a little bit.
Do you because it
sparks ideas. Do I go back?
Go back and rework it as you're writing one chapter? Or is it once you've written the entire book, you go back and rework it? Or is it just section by section?
So it's a little bit of both, depending on what I feel like I need to do. And I get why some authors say don't do that, because what can happen is you end up a cycle of rewriting to where I feel like this needs to be perfect before I can move on.
Perfectionism.
And they're quibbling over every adverb, use of this word. This would be better if, and this would be tighter. And you spend so much time doing that that you don't move forward in your writing and working on the stuff, that the chapters that need to keep going. And if that's the mindset that some people have, then stay away from going back and rewriting. Me personally, by the time I get to the end of my book, like the end of the first draft, the first couple chapters I've probably read through and touched up here and there, maybe three times, the middle part once or twice, the end. So I won't necessarily write a chapter, go back and reread it, write a chapter, go back and reread it. I won't do that. But as I'm working, I will occasionally go, because the other thing too is, I can't, what did I call the science teacher? I can't remember their name. And the guy, where did they go to? So you end up having to go back and re-look stuff up anyway, unless you're keeping like an outline or something somewhere. So by the time I get to the end of the first draft, it's been gone through at least probably twice, most of it. Then I usually go back through, I'll do at least two or three takes through it before I even start to hit it with Grammarly and that kind of thing.
And I'm just jumping a little bit back into them, but I'm wondering, if do you do a lot of pre-planning before writing a book? Do you do research in regards to the setting? Maybe you're basing the character off of another character, or it's a mesh of three different characters, maybe someone in your life, and you're just writing down these character traits, why they have them, maybe the adversities they face, their strengths, their weaknesses, and then the scenes in your mind. Do you do that prior to actually writing, just to be more organized? Or do you just let yourself write, and then, as you were saying, go back, rework it, and then at the end, how does that editing process look like? Because obviously, if you don't have a plan going in, or if you're just writing off the bat, you're going to be allocating more time to that editing. So I'm just wondering, you have written 11 books now, so I'm wondering if it's different each time, if you found a process that works better for you.
I'll go back to my first book for just a second. I knew going into it that if I hesitate, especially the first one, it's very scary, right? You're jumping into something brand new. I knew if I waited until I had the idea down perfect, then I'd never start, right? Some people, they organize beginning, middle, end. And I did a book thing for indie authors a couple weeks ago, and I sat at a table with a lady who was writing out the outline for her next book. And it was literally a notebook filled with, she did fantasy page, right? I don't do that. With the first Marcia book, here's what I knew. She comes out, she falls in love, she has her heart broken. Something happens at Christmas. Oh, and she plays soccer. That's all I knew. Now, that's the first 100 pages. Less than a third of the book. But I knew that if I wait until I have everything, sometimes, now, so that means that, like you said, as you're working, you've got to do more of the work as you go. You do have to build the airplane as you're flying it. the one I'm working on now, the Christmas rom-com, two girls in love, they both really love Christmas. Okay. So the, oh, and a high school that the, where the popular kids run things like the mafia. That those are the parts that I, those are the two parts that I had that are like, oh, that sounds cool. I want to do that. How do those two things go together? I have no idea. What trouble do the two girls get into? I have no idea, but they
get
into trouble.
It's like a connect the dots project.
Yes. Yeah. Now, that way of doing it is really scary the first couple of times. I was trying to explain it to my wife. She does a lot of jigsaw puzzles and stuff. I said, what if you can't see the picture? You always look at the box, right? You have a picture of what you're doing. When you're writing a book, there's no picture because you haven't done that yet. So you have a blue piece. Is that water? Is that sky? You don't know. What's important, put it to the side. So when you're writing that way, that's what it's like. It's really cool. It's really fun for me. And it feels very organic and real. And the characters end up doing things and being things that you didn't plan on, which is cool. But it's also very scary the first couple of times. Less scary after 10 of them. But the first couple of times, yeah, it's really scary.
In a sense, it's as you're discovering or reading the book as you're writing it.
Yeah. Funny story. So I had the opportunity a couple of years back to talk to a very published author who'd had four or five books out through a company, talking to her online. And I said, do your characters ever do stuff that you weren't planning on? You know, because I had just started, I was like in the middle of my third book and I was just hitting that point where your characters are doing things you didn't plan on. And she was like, oh, all the time. Isn't that the best? And I was like, yeah, it is. But it's also really weird because, you know, you think I'm making this up. But the truth is, once you start thinking of the characters like real people and you get to that point where you do, then you put them in a situation. Yes, they really do. And the first time that happened to me, it freaked me out a little bit. I was like, that was weird because this wasn't what I was planning on, but it felt very real to them. I was like, this is how they would react. This is what would happen. And then I had to figure out, okay, where does that go from now? Sometimes things happen with the characters where you weren't planning on it, but it needed to fit the plot. A character who I started off very nice, I needed her to do something diabolical. And so I had to, do good people do bad things for the right reasons? Yeah, they sure do sometimes, especially teenagers. They're sneaky for the right reasons if they feel like it's the right thing to do. So that became part of her personality just because it came out of where the plot was going.
Yes. And this is going to take a step back from writing your books. I want to ask, what qualities or strengths do you believe that writers need if they want to write a book? Maybe it's perseverance, maybe it's dedication, maybe it's like a hard skill or a soft skill that you believe they should possess.
Yeah, that's a really great question. Because it's a tough one, though. Every writer attacks in a different way, and I'm certainly not an expert at it, but I can tell you one thing that works for me is you have to trust yourself, trust your story, but you also have to be open to inspiration from different places. You have to be open to feedback. And a lot of times when you get in your own head, this is my story, this is where I want it to go, this is what I want to do, and you can't really see, it's a sort of forest for the trees kind of thing. You're so close to the material emotionally, it's hard to evaluate it. And so you do need to be open to feedback from other people. And that can be tough for people who are not used to doing things creatively and getting feedback. Because most people who are authors don't start as authors, right? Especially independent guys. So when my wife came to me with my first book and was like, you can't do this here. That's stereotypical. That wouldn't go down like that. And I looked at it and said, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I was writing a part. My mom, for the longest, because she was a retired middle school teacher, would read my books and come back with feedback. And good example, I had two kids and the boyfriend proposes to the girlfriend at graduation. Now they'd been dating since the beginning of high school. It was very romantic to me. I thought, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And my mom was like, they're high school students. You seriously think that if they propose on stage to graduation, the parents aren't going to flip out just a little bit? And I was like, oh, that's true.
Got to consider that.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you absolutely have to be open to feedback and the back and forth that comes with it and to getting inspiration from various places. So like some of the ideas that I've seen stuff on TV and grabbed it and taken it. Music is great for that as far as mood and things like that. I steal a lot of stuff from real life, not people exactly, but high school students and ways that people act and ways that people think. One of the things I hear a lot is the dialogue and the characters that I come up with feel very real because I spend all day observing high school students, yes. What I do. And so that, and you have to a ton of empathy for your characters, good guys, bad guys, whatever.
Yes.
If you aren't able to step into their place and into their shoes and write and feel like them, then you come off as an observer and not somebody who is part of the story. You have to make yourself part of the story. That's very hard emotionally. It's a very tough thing to pick up on. And I think it's the difference between somebody who writes a story that tells you something and writes a story that makes you feel something. And if you don't feel something, then you can't get into the book. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the perseverance, like you mentioned, because it's going to take a long time. And you have to be able to see it through to the end. A lot of people have unfinished manuscripts to be able to get to the end and then go back and do it again for the re-editing and rewriting over and over again. It's a process. Yeah. Yes. And you got to be able to see it through.
And lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about book marketing. I don't know if you're a self-published author or if you work with a publisher, but what do you do on the marketing end of your book?
Yeah, I am self-published. And the marketing is the toughest part,
yes,
and the most daunting, because you have a lot of authors. By nature, I'm pretty introverted. You got me talking a lot because my books are one thing I love to talk about.
Yes.
That and teaching and soccer and movies.
It's funny how once you have a topic you love talking about, you can talk about it for hours on end.
My wife says I have an on-off switch. I'll either sit there and say nothing or you turn me on and I won't stop. But as far as marketing, it is very tough for a lot of authors because it's very different than writing the books. It's just a whole different skill set. And it's either going to take time and energy and money. It takes at least two of the three. So if you're not spending a lot of money on it, you're spending a lot of time and a lot of energy. If you aren't spending the energy on it, you're spending a lot of time and money. Most authors like me don't have a lot of money. So I'm selling better than some, but not as well as some. I see some people 100 books, 200 books, 300 mm-hmm. books. Most authors, they say, sell less than 1,000. And that includes published authors.
Yes.
You know, one of the jokes with my friends at the high school is, oh, Chico's going to retire and become an author. Listen, Chico's made like less than $1,000 in four years. Chico's not retiring anytime soon. But social media helps. Talking to people helps. Word of mouth is huge. I'm not as big on social media as some people are, mainly because you either have time to promote or you have time to do other things. Mm-hmm. And I would rather spend more time writing. So would I sell more if I dumped a ton of money into it? Maybe, yeah. But A, I don't have the money to put up front for that. And B, I don't want to spend all my time. Here's the thing. I would rather 30 people read my book and love it than 100 people buy my book and they don't care. And the people who read my books love them. And that means an awful lot to me, especially for the markets I'm trying to reach and the kids I'm trying to reach and the adults too. I do write YA, but some of my biggest fans are my adult friends and things like that. So yeah, marketing is tough. Being able to talk about your books, and I think most authors love to talk about their books at least.
Yeah.
That helps. And podcasts like this and you guys who are willing to give us a voice, that's helps so much. So thank you for that.
No, thank you so much. I'd like to wrap up this episode now. So if you'd like to shout out to your website, maybe where people can buy your book, I'm assuming on Amazon, or if you have social media platforms, that would be lovely.
Yes, all my books are published through Kindle Direct Publishing, which is Amazon, which means you can find them on Amazon.com. They're all in paperback, Kindle, and Kindle Unlimited. So the easiest way to find them is just to type in Clint Chico Books, C-L-I-N-T. C-H-I-C-O, my author site and everything will pop up right away. That is one of the cool things with having a good number of books under your belt. The first time that you Google yourself and all that pops up are your books. That's such a cool feeling.
Must be wonderful.
You know, because when you first start, it's no one can find your books. And now nobody has problem finding my books. If you type in Clint Chico books, all my stuff pops up right away. And because I like the genre hop a little bit, there's a romance and there's an action thriller. I put out my first fantasy novel in January, and that's gotten a lot of really good reviews. And I've got a Christmas romantic comedy, again, that's going to come out probably in November. I'll continue working on that over the summer. And yeah, they're all available on Amazon, and they're all available Kindle, Kindle Unlimited, and paperback.
Thank you so much. And if you listeners love this episode and you want more episodes like this, then please do share our podcast with a friend or family member. And thank you for taking the time to listen here with us.